John the Evangelist today gives us a picture of John the Baptizer. John the Evangelist is John, the writer of the Gospel. And in two short excerpts of this Gospel, we see that John is a messenger sent from God. And this is the purpose of his place in the Gospel of John, to be a witness and a forerunner to the true light that is sent from God. And that true light will enlighten everyone, not just the religious community, but everyone. So John's Gospel gives us just a sneak preview of what true evangelism is: to go before the people and to give testimony to the light. To give testimony to the light. We may be surprised by what we find. Move over, all of our stereotypes on evangelism now can be changed as a result of finding that John the Baptizer's witness is a living testimony. Because he tells us, he says, it's not me, I'm not the one. I'm not Elijah, I'm not a prophet, I'm not the Messiah. I'm here to tell you about. I'm here as a witness. I'm here to tell you about somebody. Setting the record straight in verses 6 through 8 and verse 19, you see the writer of the Gospel of John identifies the one who came to give a witness of God's light. His name is John. And all we are told is that he is sent from God. His sole purpose in this Gospel is to give a testimony of what God was doing in the midst of the people. You see, the writer today makes perfectly clear that John is not the center of his message. He said, this isn't me, it's about somebody that's coming. John is a testifier, if you will, of the light that is breaking into the realm of human affairs. So he's the light that's breaking into the world. He's helping that light. He is John the Baptizer and not John the Light, he says. I am John the Baptizer. But when the religious leaders approach him and they question him and to identify who he is, perhaps they are not so sure that he is the light. So they ask him, who are you? Who are you? Setting the record straight is something that we need to remind ourselves when giving living testimonies of the light of Jesus Christ that influences our daily lives. Too often the church and Christians may speak with an authority that belongs only to Christ. When we are confronted by those who question our motives and our actions as Christians, the writer of this gospel account today reminds us that we would do well to always keep the record straight about who we are. Who are you? We are witnesses of something and someone who is greater than we are. The church and Christians are not the light of God in a dark world. No, we are not. But we are those who give testimony to and are witnesses of the light. We are not light, but we are witnesses of that great light. Our language and our behavior are always to be pointers to someone who is greater. Someone who is greater than we are. Drawing others to Christ and not to ourselves. You see, we don't want people to be drawn to us. We want people to be drawn to Christ. We want them to have that relationship, to come to know their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, grow stronger and stronger. And in doing so, serve others in a church and in a community. We need to be careful. See, John's own understanding of setting the record straight, and he had to figure it out for himself. He was a living testimony, and he gave an authentic response in verses 20 through 23. You see, John was sensing the pressure of the religious community, had to respond to the question, who are you? Who are you? And he responded decisively, I am not the Messiah. He didn't make any bones about it. He said, I am not the Messiah. And within that religious community that he was in, especially the church, giving an authentic response can sometimes be difficult. Weighing such issues as political correctness and social politeness can oftentimes cause us to avoid very difficult questions. But you see, Jesus didn't seem to mind difficult questions and always used just a whole bunch of words to convey what he wanted to say. Sometimes he just cut right to the chase and say it. Sometimes, though, he did what? He talked to us in parables. He would tell us a story. But see, as followers of Christ the Lord this day, you and I can find help in John's reply, and we can find it very refreshing. Although it's risk-taking, it's an example of what it means to give a genuine and authentic witness of our faith. John says he was genuine in his humility in verses 24 through 28. When you are asked, "Who are you?" it's a question we need to be asked in our own day and time. Who are you? Disciples of Jesus Christ should be ready and willing to give an authentic response. We shouldn't polish it up or make excuses for ourselves. But when doing Christ's work in our communities, it's refreshing to know that there are those with whom our work is catching their eyes and their ears. To not be effective followers of Jesus Christ is just a horrible thing. It's just wrong. But to help bring people to their senses and address the sin that plagues all of us with a message of work and hope, it is to invite interest on the part of a religious community. Who are you? What are you doing? And what makes you do what you do? You know, I get asked who I am from time to time, and it's just sometimes it's according to who asks me how I answer. Sometimes I just say, "Oh, I'm Melinda. How are you doing today?" And then people look at me and say, "You look familiar. I think I know you." And I say, "Well, you just might." And, you know, I just kind of go on. After a while, somebody will say, "Oh, I know who you are. You're that preacher." And I'm thinking, well, that could be good or bad. It's according to how you say that. So you're that. But sometimes when we introduce ourselves, who are you? We need to think about it. What makes us do what we do are questions that require us to be honest and upfront with those who are curious and give our answers without an in-your-face attitude, demonstrating resentment or arrogance. You know, we shouldn't say, "Oh, I'm so-and-so." You know, we get a little, and we begin to tell who we are and what we do and where we come from. And that's not what somebody asked us. They just said, "Who are you?" And we should be able, like John, to say we are who we are, and most importantly, whose we are. And when I think about that, I thought about whose we are. When I left a long, long, long time ago, when I left North Carolina and went to Kentucky, I went to seminary. And when I was asked a question by a lot of people, but I was told something by someone, several people in my church, and one of the older gentlemen in my church, he said, "Shug, need to tell you something." I said, "Yes, sir." His name was Braxton. I said, "Mr. Braxton." He said, never forget who you are, but more importantly, never forget whose you are. Whose you are. Who are you? And who do you belong to? Whose is, are you a Christ child? Are you one of God's children? Whose are you? John's simple talk, honesty, and forthrightness is answering the Pharisees' question, is a model that you and I can emulate every day. Put simply, it is a model that we can all use genuinely and authentically. Who are you? Whose are you? And what makes you do what you do? You know, if you can answer and put Jesus in there, that I'm a child of God, that I'm a living testimony every day, you know, people wouldn't even have to ask you. They'd probably know who you are. Are you about bringing the hope, love, and peace and joy that is upon us today? The joy is here today. Joy. Joy came into the world. Joy is that part of coming, of being here, is bringing joy to others. Do you live your life in such a way that joy is what people see? Is joy is what people experience? Or is it something that when you see people coming, you want to go the other way? How many of you are guilty of seeing certain folks coming and you go the other way to avoid them? I have done that before myself, I'll be honest with you. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't have time for that today. And we avoid it. Sometimes it's a good thing, but sometimes we have to do what? We have to deal with it. And sometimes in the midst of all that, it can, guess what? It can turn into a joy. It can turn into a good thing. It can turn into something that we probably have been putting off a long time. And then every now and then, it's just like what we thought it was going to be. It's just tough. And we have to deal with it, and we have to learn to live with it, and we have to learn to work through it. But how we do it makes all the difference in the world. If we do it with goodness, if we do it with a smile, and if we just tell somebody, you know, I just can't do that today. I'm sorry. I'll see what I can do tomorrow. And if it takes action today, I'll see what I can do. But right now, let's find what goodness we can find in the midst of it. So find your joy in this season when so many people are finding hurt and longing and not a whole lot of understanding. Let's see, can we find the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that our Lord brings to us this Advent season? Let us pray.